You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money Markets podcast for this Monday, the 24th of November, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market bounced back. The S&P ASX 200 up 1.3% to 8,525. That's after a 2.5% fall over the last five trading days, the last week. So it was a welcome recovery. 10 of the 11 sectors ended higher. Information technology, the best, followed by industrials. The worst performing, energy on the S&P ASX 200. The best performing stock, Cube Holdings, up by about 18%. That's on a takeover play by one of Macquarie's assets, followed by Reece and Sims Limited. The worst performing stocks are lithium related, Liontown Resources off by about 6.5% and Pilbara Minerals down 4%. To tell us more about the day's market action, including his take on the Chinese economy, I spoke with Raymond Chan, head of Asian Retail Desk at Morgan's. Raymond, after a really big sell-off on the markets, not just locally but internationally too last week, a recovery today, why?
Well, the market sold off last week amid worries over AI valuation and fading hope for further central bank easing. With RBA near the end of cycle and the Federal Reserve rate cutting odd falling from about a month ago from 95% to 44%, then the market bounced back 1% today. Most sector actually gains. Healthcare sector and gold sector led the way. What happened was in the US, the futures now suggesting 70% chances of a 25 basis point rate cut from the Federal Reserve in its December meeting, following a comment from the New York Fed President John Williams. So, of course, this is a sharp jump from just 44% a day earlier to now over 70%. So what is telling me the market may remain volatile ahead of the Fed decision in December. And another bright spot on the market today, of course, is the smaller company. The ASX small odd up over 1.5% as compared to the ASX 200, only up 1.1%. Likely boiled by the corporate activities outside of the top 20 stocks. So first of all, we have Macquarie Asset Management show interest in the top 100 company QUB, Cube Holding, while Saul Paterson and its associate are eyeing MVF in a smaller cap space. So the only sector that seems to underperform today is energy sector. That tend to do well during the downturn, but today it's gone down with the oil price.
As you just alluded to, there's a lot of M&A activity today. That Macquarie bid, $1.6 billion for that logistics company Cube you've just mentioned. Monash IVF rejected a big bid from a consortium also today. But the one I want to talk about in detail is that of BHP walking away from Anglo American again. What do you make of it?
BHP has confirmed that the renewed talk with Anglo America have ended without a new offer. That showing discipline amid the changing deal dynamic with the company. So while the Anglo America copper assets remain attractive, and Anglo America also sold off one of the long core division, that make it even more attractive. However, with its higher price since the last bid, and also the stronger investor support, what it means is it will require BHP to pay a much higher prices if they want to get it across the line. So, which is a move that, you know, that would conflict with its focus on the capital discipline, especially as the Chinese iron ore buyer continue to pressure on their margin. So for context, iron ore remained the biggest division for BHP, and BHP in fact earned $14.4 billion US in the iron ore EBITDA in FY25. And two-thirds, $9 billion is coming from the sales to China. So that certainly gives Chinese buyer a lot of leverage on the price negotiation. So the thing with BHP decision to step back from a renewed Anglo-America bid is actually showing, reassuring the investor that the BHP is prioritizing return over scale, With future growth, likely with the internal project, they have a lot of organic project in copper, and also this up and coming potash project to be online. So plenty on the plate for BHP without making a new bid to the company.
You mentioned China there. What's your take on the Chinese economy at the moment?
China is advancing with its dual circulation strategies, which involve balancing the domestic demand growth as well as export growth. So with the way, they try to reduce the reliance from the overseas market while strengthening the internal economy. However, what we're seeing at the moment is some of the recent data, such as the October data, as well as the single day sales, seems to be underwhelmed a little bit. So that highlight the cautious consumer behavior. So what we look at the China, I think the upcoming Central Economic Work Conference, I call it CEWC, will likely to be scheduled in mid-December, from which we think Beijing will once again announce some measures to boost the consumption and also, I think, provide target support for the property sector. And those are the steps are likely to be incremental rather than sweeping, reflecting the government view of the continued but measured approach to the stimulus policy.
And finally, Raymond, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
After a strong stock market run from April low, a pullback would not be surprising. Certainly, investors are right to feel nervous. But the backdrop remain quite supportive. There's a few things we like about the market at the moment. Number one, the cash cushion remain very strong. Just look at the US market. The US money market is at a record high, even higher than before the COVID. It's, almost like $7 trillion of dry powder that likely to, go to the market for sustained weakness. So second of all, the world's still growing, earnings still growing. So investing in share will rely on company continue to grow in their earnings, and we got exactly that. MSCI World, we're talking about expected earning growth of 12%. Looking closer to our ASX 200, we're talking about 5.7% earning growth for FY26 this calendar this financial year. And 7.3% earning growth for FY27. So pretty robust earning growth there. And the other thing, of course, central bank current easing may come to an end. But on the flip side, we think about it, in the event of the economic weakness, that will serve as a buffer to cushion against the economic weakness. I'm happy for the central bank, to lift the interest rate it is at the moment. That will allow to a better soft landing scenario in the global economy. Last but not least, we are going into a seasonal strong period. If we purely look at the S&P 500, if normally since 1980, if we have a positive return between January to October, there's a high chances we are likely to see a Santa Claus rally. So this is statistics, it is not a prediction. However, some history can make a reference when we do long-term investing.
That is Raymond Chan there joining us for this Monday edition of the podcast. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. And I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.